Tonight we're going to be in the book of Proverbs, if you would like to turn there. We finished up Proverbs chapter 3 last week, and I feel like the Lord's given us a message for tonight from Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and I had started by just reading the first two verses, but I changed my mind, and we're going to read the first six verses. But before we do, I want to tell us it's something that's important. There's a pattern to our Lord's gospel. It's the same. It's the same. I was speaking to one of the men that preached the conference in Lexington, and or one of the pastors that were there. I can't remember if he preached or not, but it was a conversation we had. I said, well, how did it go? He said, well, I looked at one of them and said, we just sound like a broken record. We're saying the same thing over and over and over. But do you know that's what the Lord's people needed to hear, is the same thing over and over and over? Do you know why? Well, it's, for one, it's amazing that it never grows old. It never grows old or tiring. Have you ever tried to eat the same food three meals a day for multiple days in a row? Now, some people might do that. And if they can, that's good for them. Not this guy. I can't do that. No, I like different foods. But when it comes to the gospel, the Lord's people only want that one food, that one manna. The children of Israel, they got tired of that manna, didn't they? They grew weary of it. And that's a picture of Christ, and the flesh gets tired of the same old thing. But if I don't sound like a broken record when I stand up here, then I'm not doing something right. The Lord's gospel has a pattern to it. It's repetitious on purpose to cement itself as the Lord would be pleased, to cement itself in our heart, so that we would not forget the simplicity of Christ. That's what Paul told the Galatians. He said, he was amazed that you've been so far removed from the simplicity of the gospel. And they went back to circumcision, didn't they? No, it's, yeah, Christ is all, but now you've got to be circumcised too. No, it's Christ is all. That's it. That's it. God's gospel is just to be repeated, declared. Just declared. It confirms the severity of it. And the Lord does reveal it. And it does get sweeter, doesn't it? It does get sweeter. Can you explain telling the same thing and it gets sweeter? Well, I don't know how, but I can tell you that's exactly what happens. The more you hear it, and the more you hear it, the more you need it. And the more you need it, the sweeter it gets. And only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord can do that. Now, this is a matter of life and death, the Lord's gospel. And it's every time we stand, it's a matter of life and death. If we're declaring, a lot of churches are declaring something that can never save the soul. This is the place where the Lord promised to meet with his people. This is the place where he promised, if his gospel's being preached, he said he'd be there in the midst where two or three are gathered. I'll be there. This is life and death. That's how serious it is when we walk through these doors. We come to hear the truth about who God is, about who we are. And our hope is the Lord would ground our feet once again. Ground our feet once again on the rock. Well, this is what's being declared here in our text. Come to Christ and live, or believe in yourself and die forever. Either trust the Father and believe, or you'll trust yourself and you'll be in unbelief and you'll die. Only those born of the Lord's Spirit need his Spirit. Isn't that true? Only the ones, you didn't need the Lord's Spirit before he gave it to you. I didn't need the Lord's Spirit before he gave it to me. Once he did, I needed his Spirit. We sing that song, Come Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove, with all your quickening power. We realize he's the only one that can quicken. He's the only one that can make alive. Only those who have tasted of the bread of life, only been able to eat the bread of life, need the bread of life. Nobody's out there in the world longing for the bread of life that has no idea who God is. No, the Lord, he causes that need, doesn't he? He causes that need, and then he fills that need with Christ. And now you need him. You never needed the fountain of living water until the Lord said, drink. He said, live, and then he said, drink. And you drank, and I've got to have it now. I need to drink another drink from the fountain. I need to be washed again. I need to be cleansed again. It's amazing that we just desire one more crumb, don't we? We're the dogs. The Lord's dogs just coming. I love the thought that the Lord says, you're not dogs, you're my sheep, you're my people, you're my children. We're going to hear about that tonight. You're my children. I'm a child of God. You're a child of, if you're in Christ, you're a child of God. It's amazing that those crumbs from the master's table never get old. You know, we eat pretty good as it goes. You know, we have plenty of food, most of us. I have freezers and we can stuff. We don't go hungry. You know, the Lord's been so gracious in that. So can you imagine eating crumbs? Well, if you're a believer, you can relate to it. Because we come begging, Lord, I just want another crumb. I just need another crumb. And he says, no, here's the whole table. Here's the whole table. It's all there. It's all my son. You can have it. It's all been bought by the blood of Christ. You know, we never get tired of it. We can't. We need it. Only those that's been made thirsty drink. Only those that's been made hungry eat. And boy, we certainly do, don't we? And it's all by his own purpose and grace. None of us woke up one day and said, today I think I'm going to be hungry for grace. Today I'm going to be hungry for Christ. I'm going to be thirsty for righteousness. No. No, you're actually blessed if you do. And it's not that you're blessed because you do. It's evident that you've been blessed of God by grace if you do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what the Lord was talking about in Matthew. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. The blessing is that he's made you poor in spirit. Blessed are those that thirst... hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. The blessing is that you hunger and thirst after righteousness. And what is he going to fill you with? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's where religion gets it all wrong. It's all by his purpose and grace, only unto his people on behalf of Christ. These are all the same patterns, brethren, that we go through and we see constantly throughout Scripture. And this is the same pattern right here. I hope the Lord will show to us in Proverbs chapter 4. Let's read our text. The first six verses say, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. First pattern, well, I've titled this message, The Father's Instruction. The Father's Instruction. We have a pattern here of the things that the Lord always does. Always does. Now, Solomon, yes, he's speaking to his physical son. There can be no doubt about that. But he's also speaking to his followers. He is the king. But if you look up that word father, the first definition is of a man being a father to a son. But the second one is the father, capital F, the Lord, being a father to his chosen people. That's literally the definition of that. So this is spiritually, this is the Lord talking to his church, his people. Who is he talking to? He's talking to his children. That's the first thing he says. Hear, little children. Or ye children, hear ye children. He's speaking to his children. He's specifically writing to his people. Now, something important is that there is no one that will ever be in hell that was ever a child of God. Nor did they have an opportunity to become a child of God. Everyone that becomes a child of, well, everyone that's a child of God has always been in Christ. He just lets us know about his finished work when he calls us. He tells us by birthing us into his family. What did the Lord tell Nicodemus? You must be born again. You have to be alive by the Spirit. And that's what he does in time. He births us, makes us alive. So if we are his children, if we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, we've always been his children, his people, and the sheep of his pasture. And those that are not, they never were or could have been. I say that because we live in a time where people talk constantly about having a chance to do this or having a chance to do, opportunity to do this. But that's contrary because only those that can do that very first word that he says. You see that first word? Hear. Hear. He tells us in Revelation, there's about five or six times, maybe even seven times over there. It says, he that hath ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Who's he speaking to there? The churches. And who has ear to hear? The church. That's the point. And it's so important that we understand that the Lord is speaking to his children. Now, the glorious part of that is he's really speaking to his children. He really speaks to his children. He chose to do that. He chose to do that. He wasn't obligated by you and me doing something or not doing something. He wasn't obligated because we decided one day to do something or make a choice. He wasn't obligated to speak to us, but yet here he is saying, "Hear, ye children, hear." Everyone that's the Lord's child is all by his own purpose and grace. Revelation 13:9 says, "If any man have an ear, let him hear." I've probably told you this maybe too many times. I'm going to tell you again. When I was pastoring false religion, I had a woman come up to me after service when I preached something similar to this. I was trying to preach the truth to them as best I could. And I mentioned, "Who has an ear, let him hear." And I said, "Not everybody has ears to hear." And she came up to me after service, and that's all she heard apparently, because she put her finger in my face and said, "Number one, I chose Jesus and I made a good decision. Number two, my ears worked just fine. I heard every word you said." And I said, "No, you didn't." You didn't hear a word I said. Gospel will anger the flesh, but he's not talking about hearing physically speaking. Now, yes, there's things that we should incline ourselves to physically. I mean, it's good to exercise wisdom. It's not good to act like a fool. You don't need me to tell you that. No, we know that. No, what we need to know is, what is he talking about when he's referring to this wisdom? What is it we're supposed to hear? And it's all pointing to Christ. That's who the Father points to. "Here's my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." No, if you have ears to hear, you will hear. That's the point, isn't it? That's the gift of grace, is ears. That's the gift of grace, is life. And grace is not something merited, or it would be no longer grace. It would be a work. It's all of grace. It's a gift. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to his children, his elect. His elected sons and daughters, elected before time and purchased by the blood of Christ, regenerated by his Spirit. Second thing, what is he saying? He's speaking. He's saying, "Hear," so it means he's going to say something. What is he saying? First of all, he says, "Hear." That means take heed. Then he says, "Attend." He says, "Hear the instruction of the Father and attend to know understanding." That word "attend to know understanding" means incline. And I liked this. I liked what this meant. Do not discredit or devalue it. Do not discredit or devalue it. That's what that means. So we are to incline our ear as far as the instruction goes, but we know we cannot do that unless the Lord gives the grace to do that. But he's saying, don't discredit the blood of Christ. Don't discredit the finished work of Christ. Well, how do I discredit it? By adding something to it. By doing a work that would add to the finished work of Christ, or taking away from it, saying, "Well, it wasn't sufficient until I do this." Or, "Yeah, it was sufficient, but I also have to do this." That is discrediting. That's what it's doing. And the Father's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Incline. Attend to no understanding. Either we are hearing and valuing the Father's instruction, or we're ignoring it, aren't we? It's very simple when it comes to the Lord and his gospel. I'm a pretty simple guy, and I like the 1 + 1 = 2s kind of preaching. I can't wrap my mind around some of the intellectual things that some men say. But either we're heeding, because the Lord's enabled us to, or hearing, and we value the blood of Christ more than anything. We value that manna that we were talking about just a minute ago. We are needing the living water, or we're devaluing it. We're discrediting it. We're trusting in self. There's no other alternative, is there? Somebody say, "Well, maybe what about people that's never heard of this before?" Well, the scripture says they're without excuse. Nature itself teaches you there's a God. So they're trusting in themselves still. There's no middle ground here. Either we're trusting completely in Christ by faith because of grace, or we're not. So he's saying, value my words. And the next thing, we say, well, what is his instruction? He's going to give instruction. So what is his instruction? Look in verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Get wisdom, get understanding. Now here is something that begs the question, how? How do I get wisdom? And it's so amazing. Our flesh would naturally say, well, how do I get it? Well, let me start thinking about things I can do. Is that not what the flesh does by nature? What do I do to get wisdom? Well, you need to, I remember in religion, they would say, if you want to be more wise, you have to apply yourself to the scripture more. You have to do this and you have to do this. And they had a long list of things you did. And I never got wise. I just got smarter as far as the Bible. Okay, it was for the worse, wasn't for the better. Memorizing verses and all those things, getting intellectual knowledge and how to argue with somebody over something that didn't even matter. That's not wisdom. That's not wisdom. Now, how do we get wisdom? Well, where does it come from? It comes from God. Was the Pharisee the wise one because he said, I tithe, I fast, I pray, I do this and I do this, and I'm thankful I'm not like all these other people? Was he the wise man? No. Who was the wise man? Well, the ones that are called the wise men in the scripture, they came to Christ to worship him, didn't they? That's a wise man. The one that was wise in the temple that day was the publican. The publican was the wise man. Have mercy on me, the sinner. That's a wise man. Why? Christ made him so because Christ is his wisdom. Do you see that? Christ is his wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from God. It's not something we get for doing. Like all good things, it's the gift of grace. It's the gift of grace. You know why? Because Christ has been made wisdom unto God's people. He is wisdom. He is wisdom. God must bestow it. God must reveal it. I heard somebody say one time, I was having a conversation, well, if the Lord must reveal it and there's nothing I can do about it, what do I need to do then? I don't even have to ask or anything, right? Well, that doesn't excuse us. What does he command us to do? Ask and you shall receive. Well, does that mean you have to ask to receive it, or you ask because you received it? Think about that. If I'm asking and that's what makes me receive it, I've merited that. But at the same token, if I never ask, I will not receive, or there will be no evidence that I've received. Does that make sense? If I don't ask, I don't have a need. Only those that have a need will ask. That's the point. And the Lord made that need. Nothing about this salvation is dependent upon you and I. But if you have a need, ask, and it shall be given unto you. That's what he says. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. We come knocking. Lord, open the door. Let us in. Don't leave us to ourselves, don't we? He's made that need. And that's not the cause of our salvation. That's evidence of the salvation that he gave us. We ask because we've already received life and grace and faith. Lord, give us your grace. Have we not already received grace? Lord, give us your faith. Are we believing? Lord, you've already given us. We need it. Wisdom is not just a thing that can be found. I've already said this, but I want to quote the whole verse. Wisdom, this is what wisdom is. But of him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of his people. And is he not who you cry out for? Why would you cry out for him? Because he gave you a need. He made you hungry. He made you thirsty. They say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But you can give him a salt block and he'll get really thirsty and you'll want to drink. Well, that's what the Lord does, is he gives us the salt of the washing of water by the word. He cleanses us and makes us desirous to be cleansed again. I didn't realize I was dirty till I got clean. I didn't realize I was dead until I was made alive. I didn't realize I was lame until I started walking. I didn't know I was blind until I could see. Isn't that the truth? Paul said, Lord, I see much better since you've struck me blind, because I see Christ now. I see the Lord. I don't see myself anymore. I don't see my goodness. I see his goodness. And that's how it is. We're blind to the flesh now, aren't we? We're blind to the flesh. No one will ever need grace until they are made guilty. If you're made guilty of sin, you'll need grace. You'll cry out for grace. You'll cry out for mercy. If you're made guilty, and what I mean by that is I don't mean that you go to the law and that you see, okay, I've committed a trespass against God. I'm talking about if God has made you a sinner, you will need grace and you will need mercy and you will cry out for it. The whole reason that you see the guilt, you see the sin, is because you've been made alive to it. You've been made alive to it. You've been called. And then you cry out, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. Peter would have never said, Lord, save me, unless he was sinking. This is what he's saying here. If you can hear, you're going to hear. And when you hear, he's saying here, get wisdom. Seek after Christ. Seek after Christ. Get understanding. He'll give you the understanding that he's God, salvation's of the Lord, and it is finished. That's what he'll teach us. God did not choose to elect his people. None could be saved. If Christ had not died on the cross and took our sin into himself, none could be saved. If the Spirit does not regenerate, then none can be saved. Salvation's all of the Lord. That's what wisdom teaches us. That's what knowledge, that's the good doctrine he's talking about, which is probably what we're going to look at next Wednesday. The word good doctrine in the first and the second verse. That word law in the second verse actually means instruction. Instruction, forsake not my instruction. This is an instruction from the Lord to his people. We're being pointed. Who does he always point us to? Is this just do we need a moral reformation here to figure out how to live better? Is that going to help us? No, he's pointing to his son. He's pointing to wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. That word get means to value wisdom, value understanding. It's priceless. It's priceless. If his blood hadn't been sufficient to put away our sin, none would have ever been saved. But because he did all the choosing, according to his purpose and grace, before time ever began, because he did all the saving in time, because he did all the regenerating by his Spirit, everyone that he purposed to save, they're born again in time, according to his will. We can rest. We can rest in that wisdom. You and I could never have come up with a designed salvation like he designed it, like he purposed it. I kind of get hung up on it sometimes because it's always right now. If you're a son and daughter of God, right now you are, and right now you are, and right now you are, and right now you, and it's never going to not be now. I love that. Well, let's read our text again. Verse 1, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Don't you love the fact that if the Lord preserves us, we can't forsake him? And that if he keeps us, we're always going to love him? If we find ourselves loving God, what does the scripture say? We love him because he first loved us. Is that not? And in religion, they have it backwards where they take this just at face value and say, okay, well, if I don't forsake her, then he'll preserve me. No, you don't forsake him because he preserves you. That's exactly right, isn't it? Well, if you love God, then he'll keep you. No, no, no. He keeps you, therefore you love him. He first loved you. And if he's loved you now, he's always going to love you, and he's never going to stop loving you. This is what he's teaching us here. What a glorious picture of our Lord showing us that it's all of grace, every bit of it. There's nothing about this salvation that is dependent upon you and I. We can't mess it up. I say that all the time, but I find great comfort in that. I can't mess it up. Last thing I want to look at is why. Why is he saying this? We've seen who's speaking, who is he speaking to, what is he saying, why is he saying this? Now, I've kind of told us a little bit of the why, but I believe the Lord showed me something. I hope this is encouraging. I hope he allows me to say this the way that he revealed it to me. Sometimes I have trouble getting out of my own way, I suppose. He's saying all this to reveal to us what 1 John 5:12 says. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, you can't get the Son of God, and I can't get the Son of God by doing something. He must reveal himself. He's God. And so many religions have that all messed up. But if he doesn't come to where we are by his Spirit and arrest us and make us alive. Make us sinners. Make us need grace. Make us need mercy and cry out for it. If he doesn't make us do those things, we'll remain dead in trespasses and sins. We just will. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath wisdom, Christ is that wisdom, hath life. He that has understanding, the Lord by his grace gives understanding that Christ is God and that he accomplished the work on Calvary. If I don't have God, if I don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as my portion, I am devoid of life. I'm destitute of all spiritual things. I'm dead in trespasses and in sin without any hope. Without any hope. But if God has made the Lord Jesus Christ all my wisdom, all my righteousness, all my sanctification, and all my redemption, I have everything. I have everything and lack nothing. We can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall be in want of nothing. Be in want of nothing. Why? Because he makes me lie down. He leads me. He keeps me. He prepares for me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. He restores my soul. He does everything for me. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he'll be with me. Why? He already conquered death. And his rod and staff keeps bringing us back to him. Aren't you glad he don't leave you to yourself? His staff will reach out and just pull you back when you try to stray. Brings you right back. That's why he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And where do you want to dwell at? In the house of the Lord forever. David said, I have one desire, that I might be in his holy temple, inquire in his holy temple, to see his face, to see his face. This is the Father's instruction. This is what wisdom teaches us. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Brethren, the strongest man is utterly, the strongest man that's ever lived or ever will live on this earth, Samson, maybe it was Samson, I don't know. He was utterly powerless if Christ was not his strength. If Christ was not his strength. The wisest man that ever lived is a complete fool if Christ was not his wisdom. The most noble man that ever lived is less than the least of the peasants if Christ is not his King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The richest man is less than the poorest beggar if Christ is not his treasure. Christ is all in all, isn't he? Christ is all in all. Though I have everything and I have not Christ, I'm just a hell-deserving sinner. Doesn't matter if I have all the might, all the power, have all the fame, all the fortune. If I owned the world and I owned heaven and everything that's in it, what would you get? What good would it do to gain all that if you lost your soul? You've got to have Christ. We've got to have him. That is the instruction of the Father. If I don't have Christ as my shepherd, my Savior, my substitute and surety, I have nothing. I have nothing. But oh, you can say with confidence, if you have him, if you have him as your Savior, your surety, your shepherd, your substitute, you have everything. Everything. What do you mean by everything? Everything. All good things come down from the Father of lights. He said, you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give unto him that asks him? What do we ask for? We ask for his Spirit. We ask for peace. We ask for Christ. We ask for grace. Why? Because we're taught of our Father. We're taught of our Father. Our Father keeps his sheep, and he already supplied everything that we will ever need. Look at the cross. You want to see, you think he's going to supply everything in salvation and leave us alone on this earth alone? No, he's going to keep us all the way. He's going to keep us all. He's not going to leave us to ourselves for all time and eternity. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as all your righteousness before the throne of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the instruction of the Father. Believe on him for all time and eternity. This is the instruction of the Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for instructing your children. For Lord, we were not only ignorant, we were dead. and we were made alive, we only knew one thing, you're God and we're the sinner, and we needed a Savior. Then you revealed your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, calls us to cling to Him. Bless this message to our understanding for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.